We left off yesterday, we were discussing the opinion of the Rabbah of Beis Din, and just to recap for a moment, the Gemara was discussing the din of Bittul Beitza B'Shishim, and the Gemara was discussing it from the vantage point of the Tam. Should the Tam and the Beitza be Batla not? Which the Gemara was a little bit startled, is that who says this Tam and Beitza to begin with? So the Rabbah of Beis Din was bothered with the question, why is the Gemara dragging us a cup talking about the Tam? Why don't we talk about the Bittul Gufa Beitza? One treif egg, it's mixed up to 60 kosher eggs. That should be the discussion. That should be the topic of Beitza B'Shishim. So the Rabbah basically gave you a whole answer why. It's a berry, and we discussed, is it a berry, not a berry? The Gemara Beitza, a berry is ever bought, all the potential ramifications. But now you want to really, in a sense, start this thing over again. Start with the question of the Rabbah Beitza in the first place. What was even bothering him? Why do you even think that this would have been a valid meaning of the statement, Beitza B'Shishim? That seems to indicate that he is of the opinion that when you have three or more items which are solid, which are yavish b'yavish, everything is dry, there's no nesidas tam from one to another, al zeh ne'amar din bittul b'shishim, that would have been subject to bittul b'shishim. Now, in the end of the day, it's not because of berry and beitza and complications. But before he got to his answer, he was clearly assuming in his question that the magic of b'shishim makes sense even for bittul gufa devarim, even for devarim yavishim, even when there is no nesidas tam whatsoever. And that's something we have to take a step back and ask ourselves, is that correct or not? So in order to answer that question, we have to go back, literally to the ABCs in terms of your idea, and address two different rules, address two different sugyas that at first glance seem to contradict one another. The starting point of our entire discussion revolves around the statement we've seen already a few times. It's a Gemara in a couple of places. Midaraisa chad betray botel. The Gemara throws out that phrase. Whenever you have a shiloh of a taromas, you have a mixture. So if you have two out of three are kosher, one is treif, so it's mutter, chad betray botel. Now whether that practically means you can eat all three, you can eat two, or three different people can eat all three, you can eat three at the same time. There's a lot of details about that, and then hopefully time goes on, we'll discuss those things as well. But to some degree, there is a principle called Midaraisa Chad Betray Batel. The question is, has anything changed in the Rabbanan? Notwithstanding the truth of that statement, that's an absolute rule in Hilchos Taravos, that Midaraisa Chad Betray Batel, has anything changed in all Midaraisa Rabbanan? So there are two different sugyas that lead us to believe that, and one sugya leads us to believe that something may have changed, and the other sugya leads us to believe that nothing has changed. And the question is, what are those two sugyas, and what the answer to that apparent contradiction is, that's going to set the stage for understanding the Rabbah based in. So what leads us to believe that something has changed? A Gemara that we've discussed, it's not on these Maamar Kamos, but it's been before the Maamar Kamos several times, where the Gemara told us earlier on in the seventh parak that there's a principle called Bittul B'Shishim. And the Gemara asks, when do we apply Bittul B'Shishim? Why don't you just simply have the non-Jew taste it? What Chazal is to do this? Wait, this magic number, Bittul B'Shishim, what do you need it for? Have the non-Jew taste it. The Gemara says, no. Bittul B'Shishim is needed for one of two cases. Bittul B'Shishim is needed if there's no non-Jew around. He doesn't know how to taste. We don't know how to trust it. We have some technical issues. We can't find the proper non-Jew to do the tasting. That's one important application of Bittul B'Shishim. And then there's another application of Bittul B'Shishim where taste isn't going to help because everything is min b'mino. It's all the same item. So if you have a little bit of chaza soup mixed into potato soup, so then I understand. Then you taste, you have to go and taste it. But if you have a tray for chicken soup mixed into kosher chicken soup, you can ask the guy to taste from today to tomorrow. He's going to tell you, taste chicken soup. That's not going to help us very much. So whenever you have a tarovus of min b'mino, then tam itself obviously is irrelevant. What you need is shishim. So the Gemara says explicitly in the Tzadi Zayin that Bittul B'Shishim is necessary by min b'mino. That's the case. That is exactly what Chazal insisted. That's what Nalacha requires, Bittul B'Shishim, in a case of min b'mino. So come all the Rishonim and say, wait, we just got finished saying B'Daraisa Chad B'Trei Batel. What happened? We thought up until now that min haTorah, as long as you have a majority of kosher, you're okay. And now the Gemara is talking a different language. The Gemara is talking about Bittul B'Shishim. Where did that come from? So the answer must be, that must be a problem midrabbanan. It must be that Rochinami, that min haTorah midaraisa chad betray botel, that's the rule that carries the day midaraisa, but for some deep dark secret, which we still don't know yet, hopefully we'll find out, midrabbanan they up the ante. Midrabbanan they require shishim by min b'mino. That, you have to say that, otherwise, what's the Gemara talking about? Amar Rava, Rava said explicitly, min mamino b'shishim. What do you mean b'shishim? Who's shishim? Where is shishim? Isn't there a din deraisa chad b'trei batal? The answer must be b'derabanan. The problem is that that issa derabanan seems to be completely ignored by another sugya. That's what we're going to pick up on the fourth of the marmakamos. And we're going to go back to the Gemara in Chul Daf Tzadi Tes, where the Gemara was discussing if you have one Gidanosha, it gets mixed up into a few Gidanoshas. The Mishnah says, if you have one Gidanosha mixed into a lot of Gidanoshas, so now you have a big problem. If you could tell which is the Gidanosha, then it's okay. But if one Gidanosha gets mixed a lot about the Gidim, the other Gidim are kosher Gidim. So if you could tell which is the Gidanosha, that's great. But if you're not a veterinarian, you can't tell the difference, they all look the same, or Gidim look the same to you, so then you have a big problem. The Mishnah says that you have to throw out all the Gidim, even the quote-unquote kosher Gidim. So he asks the Gemara in the fourth of the Ramakomos, V'liftol Baruba, why don't we apply the principle of Bitl Barov, to which the Gemara gave the magic words that we spoke about last year, barrier shiny. No, a Gidanosha is a barrier. So, Atkan for our purposes. So the Gemara's question was, let's follow Rov. And the Gemara says, you're right, you should have, except for the technicality that you can't follow Rov because of barrier. So comes Tosfos in the fifth of the Marmakomos and makes the following observation. V'dovashe ain't a lo barrier. What if it wouldn't be a barrier? And then Chaticha Rulis Kabi, that's the next sugya. What if it doesn't meet those chumras de Rabbanan? So then Batel Barov. So then you do follow Batel Barov. The Gemara asked the question, V'liftel Baruba, let's follow Rov. To which the Gemara says, this is a quirk, this is the exception to the rule. Implying, obviously, clearly, that if not for the exception, you would have followed Rov, v'afilu issa b'drabanan leika. And even an issa b'drabanan doesn't exist. Kidamash b'hacha, as it sounds pretty clear from our sugya. And then Taisa says, maybe one person should need all three. Maybe even that they're not sure about. But again, that's a detail right now. So it is clear from Tosfos, it is clear from this Gemara, that even with the Rabbanon, chad b'trei batal, Chazal never did away with that din deraisa of achirav mahatos. What's wrong with the pasuk in Chumash? I like that pasuk. It's a good pasuk. Bitl Barov is good min haTorah. Why shouldn't it be good min haRabbanan? So this is a huge problem. So everyone agrees to the starting point that midaraisa Bitl Barov applies. You have one Gemara that's talking the language of Shishim. Sounds like with the Rabbanan they changed everything. Have another Gemara. There's no mention of this change. No zeichah whatsoever. Midaraisa and midaRabbanan chad b'trei batal. Well, everything is min b'mino, so it's never going to be any time. By definition, we're talking about min b'mino. The rice chad b'trei batal by min b'mino. So there's never going to be any time.
By a person, and a person by tamei or mamzer, and goes into a group of people, would vary also a case?
A person may be one step worse than a barrier. There are some who say that a human being may not be batal. The principle of tarovus may not even apply to people, but that's a complicated kind of question. We're going to hang in there for a couple of months till we get the answer to that question. Okay, but it's a very, very complicated question, but it touches on a lot of sugyas. We have to hold off on that. So again, so we have this outright steer, an outright contradiction. But what is the answer? When do we say that midrabanan they up the ante to shishim, and when not? So if we take a look at the sixth of the marmakamos, so the Ramban gives you what he thinks the answer is in the name of the Chachmei Tzarfatim. Those are the French rabbanan, i.e. the Balei Atosis. So it's the second paragraph in the Ramban, the sixth of the marmakamos. El shematzas in the mitzvahs rabbeinu Tzarfatim zal. Sh'amru, I found that some of the Balei Atosis came up with the following answer to this question. Shelo shiru b'shishim, when do we require shishim? Ela iser balua, that's when you have two items that are mixed together, that become absorbed one in another. Now, I didn't say necessarily tam, I didn't say tam yet, but you're dealing with two things that are getting mixed into one another. So we call that lach balach. Kagon. Now, in theory, it could be chelev shalissa shazab shalhetra, it could be cholev shalissa shazab shalhetra. So you choose which one it is, but the common denominator is it's a davar asa into a davar amutar, and it's all pretty much, it's all balua together. O yayin b'mayim, o mayim b'yayin. V'chein b'chol davar anivlov, g'om k'machim v'chayotim b'hen. All kind of items, like flour, things that get mamish literally mixed into one another. Aval, chaticha ktana she'ena ruil iskava fnei orchim, she'nis arva im chatichos. What if you have a tarovus of chatichos, what we call yavish b'yavish? We're going to leave out the niskabe part. That's part of another sugya. V'zman she'ena rakira, kevan she'kol achas omedes b'fnei atzma, b'teile b'rov lo b'inan shishu. So the Ramban is already giving us the beginning to the of the answer, is that there is a difference in halacha between a tarovus of lach b'lach versus a tarovus of yavish b'yavish. That if the dvarim hanis arvim onis arif together and they become literally one unit, they become all mixed into one, that's more of a problem. If the items retain their status, doesn't mean if we recognize them, I can see which is kosher, that's not a tarovus. But it's a yavish b'yavish kind of a tarovus. So then the rules are completely different. Then there is no requirement even with the rabban of shishim. That's the answer of the Baal HaTosfos. The question is, what is that based on? What's that all about? So if you take a look in the Rosh, in the 8th of the Ramah Kamos, so the Rosh fills you in on what the lumdus of this answer is. So the Rosh tells us, "Umidrabana nechmiru b'min b'mino, hecha shenisbashal yachad kodem shenod the taruvaso, v'lo nikra adayin alav shem heter latzrichal shishim." So if you have two items that were cooked together, I didn't even know that it was a tarovus yet. I didn't even begin to discuss being bato, but two things were cooked together. I.e. the same kind of idea, it's a lach balach, there's a spreading, I don't want to say a spreading of taste, because it's all the same item, so there is no real taste, but there is a spreading and a mingling together. The Rosh is quick to apologize to us. Don't tell me a story about Tom, there's no Tom here, because it's all Minbamino. Nevertheless, it makes a lot of sense that we should require shishim. Why? What's the reason for this Issa D'Rabbanan? Gezeira ato min b'she'eno mino. So comes the Rosh and says, now we begin to understand what was bothering Chazal. Chazal was very, very nervous. Chazal said, imagine the following is going to happen. A person is going to come to the Shaila, Rabbi, you won't believe what happened, but a little bit of my treif chicken soup fell into my kosher chicken soup. So the din min haTorah, the Esbosh Rabbeinu, the answer to that question is, it's mutar, is it rov? If it's rov, it's rov, it's finished. What's going to happen next week? Next week, a little bit of tray for chicken soup is going to fall to potato soup. So the person's not going to want to bother the rabbi anymore. He said, I asked the rabbi last week already. The rabbi told me it's both of a row. Why is this week different? Gavalt, it's a big difference. Last week it was min b'mino. So there was no tom to reckon with. This week it's tray for chicken soup into potato soup. So the taste of the chicken soup is discernible. So the guy's not going to chop that difference. He's not going to realize that difference. That's a huge difference. That difference makes all the difference in the world. Midaraisa. He's going to say, well, if last week was Bata Barov, then this week is Bata Barov also. So therefore, to nip the problem in the bud, Chazal instituted that even last week's Shaila, you need Shishim for also. So they were Gozer, Min B'mino, Ato Min B'she'eno Mino. So the Rosh says, that's what Rava meant back at the Tzadi Zayin when he says, I'm a Rava Min B'mino B'shishim. What that means is, even though Min HaTorah is Bata Barov, but with the Rabbanan, you require Shishim. And what the Rosh just added to us, above and beyond what the Rabban said, the Rosh explained to us why they made this Gezerah. The Gezerah made a lot of sense. It was a Gezerah de Rabbanan, Otu Min B'she'en Amina, which would have required Shishim Mida Araisa. However, says the Rosh, since the whole reason for this Gezerah was lest we confuse Min B'mino and Min B'she'en Amina, now the Rosh continues in the end of the second line. But if it's two dried foods, there's no need for shishim. What in the world do you need shishim for? If I have three pieces of meat, two are kosher salami, the one's a treif salami, what are you afraid of? It's yavish b'yavish. It's dry. So what's going to happen? It's going to give tam? Not even the radio screen will give him off tam. So in a situation where there's a concern lest we mix up with cases of the seed is tam, with the rabbanon they require chishim. In cases where that fear doesn't exist because it's yavish b'yavish, then they left it at the dinder aisa. What's wrong with the chayrab mahatas? So according to the Rosh and according to the Baal HaTosfos and the Ramban, everything reads like a charm. All the Gemaras make a lot of sense. The one Gemara that says that Amar Rava, that you require shishim for min b'mino, that means midrabanan balach balach, when the gzera exists. The Gemara that says lifto beruba is talking about midrabanan, Even midrabbanan, it's okay. Even midrabbanan don't require shishim because it's yavish b'yavish. Everything is great. Everything is wonderful. So the Rosh and the Ramban, the Bali Yatzoisus, everyone's on the same team. The problem is, the person who is not on the same team is the Rav of Beis Din. Because the Rav of Beis Din discussed the requirement of Shishim, even though we're talking about Yavish B'Yavish. The Rav of Beis was talking about eggs. He wasn't talking about making omelets. He was talking about eggs. I have three eggs, two of them are kosher, one of them is treif. They're in a basket together. And the Rav of Beis Din said, oh, that should be Beitza B'Shishim. That's what the Gemara should have meant, Beitza B'Shishim. The only reason Nebuch, the Gemara, didn't say it, because an egg is a barrier. But if not for that technical detail, so Bittel Barov doesn't work Midrabbanan on Yavish B'Yavish. How could that be? Based on what? What's the reason for that, number one? And number two, doesn't the Gemara say, V'lifto Baruba? Let's go back for a minute to that Gemara. The Gemara back on the end of the fifth of the Mamakamas. Why is Beitza worse? Why should Beitza be worse than a piece of Nevela? The Gemara says, Beferish, back to the fourth of the Mamakamas. The Gemara says, V'lifto Baruba. The fourth of the Mamakamas, the Gemara says, Gidin Hashem is Bashel. He asks the Gemara, V'lifto Baruba. How in the world does the Rav of Beis Din read those two words? Lifto Baruba doesn't rove. Doesn't Ruba mean rove? Isn't that obvious? So, not necessarily. So if you take a look back to the sixth of the Maram Kamos, so the sixth of the Maram Kamos, the Ramban, in the fourth line of the Ramban, the Akshinan Lei V'lifto Baruba. So what do you think Lifto Baruba meant? I thought it meant, majority, Chloma. When you see the word Chloma, you already know we're in trouble. Chloma is always a way of introducing what we just said doesn't really mean what it sounded like. Kilomar, it's as if, Kamolomar, that's what Chloma means. You know what Lifto Baruba means? Catch this one. Chlomar, Amayin Evitel Yolam. The Gemara is asking, why are eggs never bought there? Bishariba Alav Heter Shishim Havlo Lebetula. You know what Baruba means? Baruba means a lot. Ruba doesn't mean majority. Ruba doesn't mean 51%. Ruba means a lot. What number is a lot? Learn chul and you figure out what the lot number is. And what's the lot number? A shishim, like everybody knows, is both of a shishim. So in one fell swoop, the Rav of Beis Din, Ramban, just knocked out the Gemara. That Gemara that we thought was a bikasha, that the Rush thought was a bikasha, the Rabbi Seidemar Tzafatim thought was a bikasha, one Gemara says there's a din of shishim, and one Gemara says there's a din of rov. It's not true. There is no such Gemara that says Rov anymore. It was a Klomer Gemara. They didn't really mean it. It meant Beribuya. Beribuya meant a lot, a lot, a lot, i.e. Shishim. So we solved, in a sense, the textual problem, but conceptually, why should that be so? Why did they make a Gezeirah Rabbanan? What was wrong with the Din D'Oraisa? So Bishlam, according to the Rush, what was wrong with the Din D'Oraisa, so to speak, was it's too risky, it's too dangerous. People are going to make a mistake. A Gezeirah of Min Bebino, Adam Min Mishen Homino. But according to the Rosh, that Gezeirah only makes sense by Lach B'Lach. It doesn't make sense by Yavish B'Yavish. And in fact, they didn't make it by Yavish B'Yavish. But according to the Rav Beis Din story now, and that was other approach, that Tachamid D'Rabbanan, you do need Shishim, even by Yavish B'Yavish, for what good reason do you need Shishim? What was wrong with the Din D'Oraisa? Halach L'Maisa, I have three dry pieces of meat. Two of them are kosher, one of them is treif. They get mixed up in a basket. It's not a pot. There's no gravy. There's no cooking. There's no time. Like, three dry pieces of meat. Two kosher salamis, one treif of salami. Why in the world can't you follow Rov? What is wrong? So the Rosh says, you can follow Rov. But the Rav Beis Din says, no, you can't. Midrabban, you can't have Rov. What in the world prompted Chazal to make this Issa Midrabban, even by Yavish B'Yavish? So if we take a look at the Rambam, in the ninth of the Maram Kamos, the Rambam gives us the answer to this question. The Rambam in Halacha Dalet, last of the Maram Kamos, number nine, Nafal Chelev Kloyos L'Chelev Alia V'Nimach HaKol. If a person has a whole mixture of Chelev of the Kloyos, of Chelev that's also to eat, the Chelev of the kidneys, it gets mixed up with the Chelev Alia, which is permissible. And everything is all mixed together. It's all mushkababdo, everything all one big tarovis. But again, but it's even though it's a lach balach, but it's min bemino, so there's no sinistam. Imhoyachelev alya kishnayim bechelev akloyos, as long as you have 2-1, habriakom mutam in a Torah. This is classic, midaraisa chad betray botel. Afilu chaticha nevela shenasav l'mishnei chaticha shoshchuta hakol mutim in the Torah. Even if you have one piece of treifa meat mixed it with two pieces of kosher meat, everything is mutter. The Rambam just described yavish bi yavish lach b'lach midaraisa. We walk away from everything chad b'treif b'tol. Aval, but midivrei sofrim midirabbanon, everything is a problem. Hakol osur, everything is osur. Now wait a second. First of all, everything is osur. That means both cases the Rambam just gave. He gave you one case of nimach kol when it was slach balach. He gave you another case of three pieces of dry meat of nevelos yavish biyavish. And the Rambam says avav divrei sofer kol osur. This is right out of the world of the Rav Beis Din, that mid the rabbanon you require rov. We need more than rov. Rov is not enough mid the rabbanon. Why? So now the Rambam explains to you the why. Avam divrei sofer kol osur. Ad shia aved davar ha'osur me'otze mi'uto v'lo yia davar choshov she'en ha'omedes k'moshi yisbayer. Says the Rambam, you know why you need shishim? The Rambam says you need shishim because if you don't have shishim, you still have chashivos there. What does that mean? We already learned the sugi of davar choshov yesterday. We learned if it's something that's counted, if it's a beria, if it's davar chashuvim, they're not batel. Comes the Rambam and just gave you a new category of chashivas. Says the Rambam, when you have a ratio of merely 2-1, although min ha-Torah it's batel, mid the Rabbanan it's not batel. You know why? Because you have too much issur there. It's too chashiv what you have here. 1/3 of what's on the table is treif. Although min ha-Torah that's okay. Min ha-Torah, even the chashivim are batel. But mid the Rabbanon, if the number of the quantity, if the ratio of hetah to isser is so low that it's barely bekoshi 2-1, says the Rabbah, mid the Rabbanon, that's a problem. With the Raisa, it's okay. Vidivrei sofrim, achi avidavra cha'otzebiyuto. You have to knock the numbers down a little bit more. You have to get the ratios a little bit higher in your favor. In order for bittul to work, mid the Rabbanon, mid the Raisa 2-1 is good enough. Mid the Rabbanon, you need more. What number do you need mid the Rabbanon? How much constitutes never a issa me'otza me'yuta v'lo yedav ha'choshov? How much do you need? Guess what? Not a great surprise. The magic number is shishim. When you have 60 times hetet to isser, so then you've reached the point where the isser is so trivial, so insignificant, even mid the Rabbanon it's going to be okay. If that's the reason for shishim, then there's absolutely no difference whether we're dealing with a davar yavesh or a davar lach. If the reason for shishim mid the Rabbanon was a gzeira atu ta'am ki'ikur, atu a case of min b'she'en omino, like the Rosh said, so then the gzeira only made sense by lach b'lach. It doesn't make any sense by yavesh b'yavesh. But if the reason for the issur d'rabbanon is because it doesn't look right, because it looks chashuv, it looks significant, it looks important to us, so then it's an arbitrary distinction between yavesh b'yavesh and lach b'lach. Everything has to be this battle. Everything requires the magic number of d'rabbanon shishim. So we have playing out here really two fundamental different approaches. Mamash aleph beis of yeridaya. Everyone starts with the same approach. The same approach is b'daraisa chad b'trei batel. That's for sure. M'd'rabbanon, something changed. What changed and why it changed is where the Rishonim branch off. So according to the Rosh and according to Balei HaTosfos, according to the first group of Rishonim, m'd'raisa chad b'trei batel. M'd'rabbanon, they were concerned lest people make mistakes in cases where there is the Sidas Tam. A gezeira ata b'mishen amino. That was the reason for the gezeira. Therefore, the gezeira was only made in a case of lach b'lach when it makes sense to make the gezeira. That's one approach. The other approach is no. M'd'raisa chad b'trei batel. M'd'rabbanon, if the numbers aren't high enough in your favor, it doesn't look right. It's a shtikl davar choshev, and therefore m'd'rabbanon they up the numbers to shishim. But once you say they up the numbers to shishim because of chashivos, then there's no difference whether we're dealing with yavish v'yavish or lach b'lach.
I just want to understand. So according to the Rambam, there's no case of by tarovis of rove.
That's right. M'd'rabbanon. That's right. They did away. Not that everything is objectively chashiv, but until you get the shishim, you have a problem of chashivos. M'd'rabbanon.
You'll never find a case.
That's right. According to the Rambam, m'd'rabbanon, they knocked out the whole din of bittul barov. That's right. According to the Rosh, they never knocked it out. They knocked it out 50% of the time because of a unique gezeira. According to the Rambam, they knocked it out legamri. So these are two very, very different conceptual approaches, textual approaches, lomdish approaches. They're kibbeh chavisuch l'mayrav. What's going on? What changed from the Midaraisa to Rabbanan? Everyone agrees that it's the Midaraisa. Everyone agrees something changed. We're not sure why it changed. And depending on why you think it changed, that's going to impact on when it changed. So you have two different approaches to Halacha L'maisa. According to the Rambam and the Rav Beis Din's Shulchan Aruch, so any and every time you have Bittul Barov, forget about it. Bittul Barov just doesn't work anymore. L'maisa, they did away with Bittul Barov, but the Rabbanan, end of discussion, no matter what. And according to the Rosh Shulchan Aruch, it's not true. They only did away with Bittul Barov by Min Mino when it's Lach Balach, when there's a real gezeir, a real fear of mixing up a Tam Kikar. If there's no fear, if it's just Yavish B'Yavish, then you leave it on the Din D'Oraisa. That's the way it is. You have two very, very different approaches, Halacha L'maisa. La'alacha, we don't accept the Machmir. We don't accept the Rama and the Rava Beis. We pass it La'alacha like the Mekilim, that theoretically, there is still a Din of Bittul Barov. Even Min D'Rabbanan, even B'Zman HaZeh, there's Bittul Barov. If it's a Yavish B'Yavish, that meets all the criteria. I think so. I think the Shulchan Aruch also called it. Yeah, I think so. I think the Rambam was a Das Yochid. One of the biggest kashers against the Machmirim was our Gemara, where the Gemara says, V'lifto Baruba, which the Rashba had to say, Kloimar. So that's a huge, huge kasher. But you have to affirm, you have to say something. So getting back to our story now, the Bittul Beitza B'Shishim, so the Rav Beis, and he has this bomb kasher. What happened to the Beitza? Why is the Gemara shepherding us with Bittul Tama Beitza? Why don't we talk about the Bittul Gufa Beitza, Gavald? And the Rav Beis Din turned the wool off side down and said, no, it's a berry, and a berry is a bun. Whole story. So most of the Rishonim would look straight at the Rav Beis Din and say, Kusha made Korolesa. The Kasha didn't even get off the ground. What do you mean, Beitza, Vishishim, Gufa Beitza? That would be absolutely untrue statement. If we're dealing with the Gufa Beitza, that's not Vishishim, then it's Barov. Then the whole statement can't be true. So you're bothered with the kasha. Why didn't the Gemara talk about Bittul Gufa Beitza? That wasn't even on the radar screen to discuss. We're talking Shishim, and you're talking about Bittul Gufa Beitza. That's not appropriate. So the Rav Beis Din is siding with the Rambam against the Tosfos, against the Rabban, against most of the Rishonim, and therefore started the kasha, asked the kasha. And Baruch Hashem, we have the entire 14th sugya to thank to his kasha. But according to the other Rishonim, the 14th sugya doesn't exist. I don't want to say it's a bottle, but it's a bottle. The sugya doesn't exist according to most of the Rishonim. So we'll maybe make a hadron on the sugya, since we've convinced ourselves that the sugya doesn't exist for our purposes. Hope that next week we'll start with the new sugya.